Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Further from sobriety. So sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. And now it's time for Homegrown, your only show dedicated to local art, with your hosts, David Von Strawn and Leslie M. Scott Jones. And now, here's David and Leslie.
Hello, Charlottesville. It is Sunday. It is October 15th, 2 days after Friday the 13th. But then again, since January 20th, every day has been Friday the 13th in America. And this is Homegrown, your show for local art.
You all right?
Here in Charlottesville, Virginia. Good? Oh, I'm peachy.
Okay.
Peachy keen. 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. I am David Von Strawn, a.k.a. the devious one, a.k.a. heavily caffeinated, never duplicated, a.k.a. to fidget, to quit. And with me, as always, is the lovely, the loquacious, the lascivious, Leslie M. Scott Jones.
Good morning, David.
Hey.
What's up? I'm so tired.
I'm so tired, too.
Doing two shows at once is, that's a little work.
You get no sympathy from me.
Why?
Because you put yourself in this position all the time.
Have you been talking to my daughter?
You work yourself
to
the bone. And then you talk about how tired and how hungry you are because I haven't had a chance to eat and I haven't had a chance to sleep and I do all this stuff. Well, if you gave yourself a break and read some Audre Lorde and did some self-care, you wouldn't be in this BS in the first place. So no, don't even stop. Just stop with it, because I don't want to hear it. You talk about doing all this stuff, and you talk about putting yourself in positions with horrible people, and I'm like, yo.
Do you see?
Dig your own grave.
Do you see?
Dig your own effing grave.
I don't get any sympathy.
No, you don't.
I don't get any
sympathy.
No, you don't.
Because you do it to yourself. You do it to yourself. You do.
Oh, God, now he's sick.
Radiohead reference.
Lord, somebody stop him.
Because they're one of the greatest bands in the world.
Jesus, be a fence.
Oh, my Lord. I need a fence from the self-pity party that Leslie always be throwing for herself.
It's not a self-pity party. I'm just saying I'm tired.
Yeah. I know. Well, there are remedies for that. A little acupuncture. Common Grounds is holding some free, you know, wellness.
You think acupuncture will fix me?
I think somebody needs to stick some type of needle in you to just
David.
To just
can I choose the type of needle and the size?
And our first guest. She be singing.
Gotcha.
Leslie would say she sings much better than I do, but I think my voice is melodious and beautiful. That of a mockingbird, if you will.
Oh,
That has just been killed. I blame all the smoking in my 20s and 30s. I was nice in high school, though. I was nice.
No, you approach singing just like you do everything else in your life, 110%. You are like, you like that little cartoon character. Just I don't even see the wall. You just go through and you just see an imprint of David that went through the wall.
That is me.
But I love that about you.
I was going to say, is that a compliment?
I'm
trying to figure out what that is.
I love that about you.
Heather Hightower's in the house. She's putting on, she's in Arts in the Park. She's holding a free singing class held by the Downtown Business Association of Charlottesville at E Park. That's Emancipation Park to the layman, to the non-Charlottesvillian. Going down October 21st. What's going on, Heather?
Hey. How's it going?
Hey.
So talk about it. Is this something that the Downtown Business Association of Charlottesville approached you with, or is it something that you approached them with?
Well,
and was like,
they
I just want to see.
Approached me.
Okay,
so I have
really?
I have the good fortune. We are now just passing the 1-year mark of being a voice studio on the downtown mall. So I have a voice studio called the Center for Vocal Study.
Okay.
It is above J. Fenton 2. And so it's next to the Fitzroy, across from Wells Fargo, across from the...
Yeah.
Right next to that little rainbow mosaic couch, there's a Door to Nowhere, which now has my logo on it. So we had been kind of operating incognito, like Harry Potter's... Yeah, and there's this gorgeous, it's this gorgeous three-room studio, and so we are immersed in teaching voice all day, every day, and...
Are these all voices?
All voices, although we tend to attract a lot of... I'm always hesitant to say who we work with because I don't mean as a limiter, but but as sort of
are they in the witness protection program? Or
I could tell you, but we tend to attract a lot of teens and a lot of women in transition. But that said, we do have men and we do have young adults as well. So I tend to teach a lot of teen girls and 12 and up, and then. Yeah. So the Downtown Business Association is led by Joan Fenton. Joan Fenton has the store below me. So when they put together this Arts in the Park series, she reached out to me and asked if I'd like to organize a singing event. And I think we're just calling it Singing with Heather Hightower. But, you know, it's going to be a sing thing in Emancipation Park.
So I wonder if what are the acoustics around a big, fat, hefty bag in... in the park, like is that more of a fluttery sound? Is it?
Well, yeah. I'll sidestep
does it reduce
that
the tinny effect of the bronze? Like, how does that ring throughout the streets of Charlottesville? I'm wondering.
Well, I will say that the acoustics inside our downtown studio are fantastic.
Can I give a shot to that? I think what happens is that there is a whole lot of reverb, but the city council refuses to acknowledge that the reverb actually exists.
Hey-o.
So we are going to show up in our acoustic-less outdoor venue. Mm-hmm. Maybe a little additional reverb from the plastic the statue.
But maybe some risers, you know. I wasn't gonna walk around this elephant in the room. You must not know about me. I'm gonna let you know.
Well, I have a wormhole to go down on this one, which is I do think there is something to be said for being in a space, not an outdoor space, but an indoor space, where you can feel the vibration leaving your body, bouncing back through your body. Mm-hmm. So whenever you take that experience and you bring it outside where there is nothing for it to bounce off of, mm-hmm. or little or less, the experience of singing is different. So there are like three wormholes I'd like to go down, but I'll try to pick one that may be relevant.
Okay.
I see the singing event next weekend as a wonderful opportunity for people to come together, experience themselves in song. I feel like there are differing levels of, like the after effects of August, I think have affected people very, very differently. Some are, I think, really hurting and struggling. And I think some are not thinking about it as much, or some aren't sure how to plug in. I think there's something to be said for coming back to your center and coming back to what feels good and right in your body. And then when we get to do that together, there's something new that's born out. As you know, you're an artistic, you're artists. So I see it as just a wonderful opportunity for an hour for a random assortment of people to come together and connect. We're going to sing two-part songs. We're going to go back to rounds. It's not going to be anything fancy. It's going to be something that can be easily taught and that can we can easily achieve the experience of harmony, even though we won't have the benefit of being like in an indoor, acoustically resonant, pleasant space.
Yeah.
And I think you could sort of extrapolate that in your own mind and go like, well, what is the benefit of people coming together for something that is resonant within my body and resonant within a group of people, and what does that lead me to, and what does that open my mind up to in terms of
benefits.
Exactly. So we'll do that for an hour, and it'll be come one, come all. It's free. It's kid friendly.
I was going to say, now, if I'm a Charlottesville resident and I don't know how to get up in this, like, do I just come down on October 21st?
Just show up.
What time?
2:30. You can come late. You can leave early. You can bring your kids.
All right.
We're having my teens that I work with regularly co-lead with me.
Okay.
So we will do part taught songs and part games that allow you to do your own spontaneous compositions. So we will just roll with it as people show up. We'll see mm-hmm. who comes and what the vibe is, and we'll adapt. And, you know,
very cool.
We will attempt to bring it in.
Do you think that this is kind of like the downtown or Charlottesville in holes, like attempts to say clean up the image of Emancipation Park, or like to like remake it or rebrand yeah. it into something that it has now become?
And how
comfortable do you feel about being yeah. an instrument?
Because
the voice is an instrument.
I feel like that's part of my responsibility as a downtown business owner, is to offer the gifts that I can.
Yeah.
And the gifts that I can offer include song facilitation and yeah. bringing people together. Mm-hmm. I think the headlines that have made global media is not reflective of a lot of the spirit of Charlottesville. And so we need to show up and be doing things that allow people to create new memories.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't speak for what the Downtown Business Association was thinking when they created it, but I am happy to be a part and just say, let's create a new memory here, a new snapshot, a mm-hmm. new something you can put on social media. Mm-hmm. Let's do it again. Let's come back together. Let's keep celebrating what's good. And create a space where that wisdom at play in each of us can maybe flow a little bit freer. And I think singing is a wonderful vehicle for mm-hmm. that. So that's my little wormhole, but...
No, I love all your wormholes. Yeah. I've been in the roundabout, like, just yeah. surfing through them. Well, Star Trek reference.
Got that one. Thank you.
Up top.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I think it's not my role to tell somebody how to show up in the community, but I think that when we are in touch with that quiet inner voice, and singing is such a great way to clear the clutter and to breathe and to get clear within myself.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's just a tiny bit of time, I think the more of that, the better.
Definitely. So October 21st, everybody just shows up at what time?
2:30 to 3:30.
Okay.
Come with your kids. Leave early if you need to.
So what songs are you teaching?
Oh, man, I was worried you were going to ask me this.
You don't have to. You don't have to tell.
Please don't say the night they drove old Dixie down.
No.
Please. Please not that song. I'm saying.
We'll pull out a few. Maybe we'll do a few like civil rights songs, but I also, just because they're, I think they tap into something
yeah.
that is an important song history, I think, mm-hmm. to keep alive. These are some of the songs I do with my Field School Boys Choir that I teach over at the Field School of Charlottesville. Generally, I don't know. We'll find out. We'll find out the day of. I have a whole library up my sleeve, so we'll see what the vibe calls for.
Awesome.
And let's talk about a little bit about you. Let's plug this little business that you got.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to take a little vocal lessons, how would I go about doing that?
Thanks for asking.
Yep.
Centerforvocalstudy.com is our website. You can easily go in and book a lesson. We're a team of five, which blows my mind. We've just gone through a little blossoming.
Mm.
We have three of us that are voice teachers, and we've got a studio pianist. So you can just go online, book your lesson. And we take it from there.
Any particular style of music that you guys specialize in?
We're all classically trained, but we aren't necessarily expecting you to take mm-hmm. a classical path. We have singer-songwriters. We have kids auditioning for shows.
Yeah.
We have adults that are auditioning for shows. We have adult continuing ed students. We've got beginners. We've got sort of a whole range of it. We are focused on a healthy, good-feeling experience with your voice and a safe space to take chances.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. Awesome. So if somebody wanted to teach with you.
Yeah, that's a great question too. We don't really have room for it. We are limited by our space.
Right.
So
right.
we're not in a position where we're growing that element of it. And okay. so I am making sure we're growing slowly and carefully.
That's right. Heather's the star of the show. No,
no
competition.
This
is my town, said Heather.
No, not at all.
I'm just putting words in your mouth.
There are so many great voice teachers in town.
Right.
The fact that the studio exists is really a serendipitous thing that seems sort of beyond me.
Right.
We're
How did that come about?
Really by chance. I happened to be getting a massage from my friend who had the space before, saying like, I wish I could teach in such a beautiful place. And she said, well, you should take it. I'm leaving and my lease is up Friday. And I thought, whoa.
Wow.
So I feel very fortunate to sort of steward the space.
Yeah.
We can only really teach two lessons at a time. So we are limited with how many we can do. So we are focusing on creating an experience that is, I don't know. Carefully tended.
Like yeah.
It's a carefully tended garden.
Yeah.
And we're figuring out what that looks like in this space at this time downtown. We just feel really happy to be. I feel so blessed to be downtown in the heart of Charlottesville doing the kind of work we're doing at a time like this. Because what I think every day we are all about is helping each student get in touch with what is true for you.
Yeah.
What is the world asking of you right now? Where is your song being called right now? And what do you need to do to show up for it? And then we provide some easy ways to do that. Mm.
Well, Heather, I know you've had a hard couple of years per our previous conversation. So thank you for taking the time and coming out and showing the love that, you know, that you were born with and that you still have in your heart. And hopefully Nazis don't come and crash your party.
Hey, we're gonna sing.
Yeah, it's 2:30, so you don't have to bring torches.
No.
It's all right. Arts in the Park, free singing class held by the Downtown Business Association of Charlottesville, going down to Need Park, October 21st. It starts at 2:30. Bring the kids. It should be a fun time. Heather Hightower.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Awesome. That was cool.
That was cool.
I like that.
Yep.
I
like it too.
We should pay some bills.
Let's pay a bill. And
we'll just one?
Just one.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, it's what it is. This is Homegrown. Drop! 17 minutes past the hour. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville, your show about local
and
art.
And if you're just
in
tuning in,
Seville.
17 minutes, really? 17 minutes of the show has gone by and you missed it.
I mean, you missed a really good segment. I mean,
right?
you still got three quarters of it to dip your feet in and delve yourself into.
Set an alarm.
But we start with a bang, so this is what we
just
do.
Saying.
And Leslie's working.
Yes, we know that Leslie's working. Leslie's working
David
and never resting.
David seems a little bitter about that.
I'm not bitter. I ain't bitter.
Okay.
No, I'm enjoying myself.
Oh, okay.
Long naps.
Really?
Long, luxurious naps.
Really?
Ty Cooper's in the house.
What's good, man?
Long time visitor
Thank
of
you.
Homegrown.
Always
back
love coming.
Again.
Always love coming up here.
That's what's up. I see you in your 80s windbreaker. You should have
Thank
a bucket
you.
Hat,
Thank
and then
you.
We could do King of Rock
oh,
together.
No, I got the fisherman hat at home. I didn't bring it out. I got to have the fisherman hat and a champion sweatshirt.
You got to keep it throwback. Got to keep it throwback.
EPMD, man.
That's,
EPMD.
That's what I'm talking about.
Big fan. See how you told my age?
I know, right?
I'm an old head.
See?
Hey, that's all right. I'm a old head, too. I got nothing but 80s and 90s on my Spotify, and
okay.
I don't even know what an Uzi Vert is, so it's all good. It is all good.
Good.
He is hosting the comedy writing workshop at the V. Earl Dickinson Building at PVCC going down October 20th. Talk about that.
You've been doing this for a while, though, right?
Yeah, you've been doing the comedy thing for a minute here in Seville.
Yeah. I've been doing national comedy since 2002.
Mm-hmm.
But the comedy writing workshop is something that I just felt as though I was equipped to do. I'm around a lot of funny people. I have to watch them. I have to figure out who I'm going to hire. You know, so I think I'm equipped with the tools.
There you go.
To provide what's funny and how
Lord,
to be funny.
Lord.
You know what I mean?
I can see Ty right now. They ain't make me laugh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 I don't laugh that often at shows anyway.
No, he doesn't.
I've sat
next to him at Comedy Stuff. He just sits there like.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's kind of tough.
Man. I think that's just black folks in general. Like, impress me.
Right?
Nah. I see some.
You are.
Nah, I see so many black folks laughing at Madea. So nah, it's not that difficult to make them laugh.
Oh,
yo, shots fired!
Pow!
Okay. That shot traveled all the way to Atlanta.
I know.
Yes, it did.
All the way.
Hello.
Yeah, I think Tyler Perry sleeping on his bed of money is least concerned
cool.
about
yeah,
that.
Very,
he's
concerned.
Like, take all the shots you want.
least concerned.
I'm gonna curl up in this $100 bill stuffed in this pillowcase. So
Tyler also did, you know. You know, movies like, you know, Why I Get Married and stuff like that, which shows another level of black success. So,
yeah. So
I don't knock him for what he's doing. I just, it's the people, man. It's the people. You know,
yeah.
if someone puts some buffoonery up and you go to it, then they're gonna keep on putting buffoonery up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's all.
You know, that's the way it works. Well, and hopefully with the stuff he did after that, he's trying to like move his audience with him.
Hopefully.
You know, like he's trying to say, yeah, that's funny. But hey, look at this.
Yeah, look at this over here.
Yeah.
You know, I'm with Oprah. I'm saving her network.
Right.
So come over here.
Isn't he, though?
Yeah.
He is so saving her network.
I thought personally that Soul Plane deserved multiple Oscars, in my opinion.
Who's Soul Plane?
I'm just messing with you.
I'm glad. I'm happy. I'm very happy to hear that.
No, absolutely not.
Wow.
Horrible movie.
Okay.
If you ever get the chance.
What would somebody get from the comedy workshop when they show up? So can anybody come?
Yeah, it's free. It's actually free to the public. You know, I get paid from PVCC, so it's free. It's free. If I didn't get paid by them, then you have to pay. But really what to expect, for instance, I just conducted a 4-week workshop, comedy writing workshop for this organization called Living Free, which is a veterans organization. And their goal is to, well, the goal of that particular workshop, you know, people, you know, these veterans deal with PTSD, you know, a lot of different things going on. So a lot of times they haven't even opened up yet about their past and stuff.
About what happened,
They avoid talking about it particularly to citizens.
Oh, yeah.
So my goal with the workshop was to provide them with a platform to find things that they could talk about that was funny.
Yeah.
That wasn't funny then, but it's funny now.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you look back on it.
And heal.
And that was my way of just kind of trying to break the ice.
Yeah.
I'm a civilian. So I didn't have, I would say, I didn't have that same experience.
Right.
But I thought that may be a good way. And it was highly appreciated by all the attendees and the participants. Yeah. So it was good. So this workshop is different. This is not a 4-week workshop. This is a 3-hour workshop. But the goal is to show people how to approach material that could be funny. How to approach it. Like, you know, we all have a comic voice inside.
Mm-hmm.
But often we suppress it because it may not be appropriate at times, right?
And this is what kind of bugs me about, you know, doing stand-up comedy is that there's this phrase that says, everybody is a comedian. And I don't think that's true because everybody's not a pilot. And everybody's not like, you know, an architect. Me and Chris Rock is one of those individuals that said, well, either you're funny or you're not.
Right.
Which means that you know how to structure comedy or you just know how to tell jokes or tell other people's jokes. So it sounds like you would be one of the people to like challenge that idea. And if so, like, how do you make somebody who's got funny stories like funny?
Mm-hmm.
And can go on stage and put on like a tight 5, if you will.
One thing about comedy is that comedy shows up in all aspects of our lives. So when you see comedy, you see it in the form of stand-up. You see it in the form of stories, sitcom, movies. You know, the oldest comedy show was on radio before TV existed.
Yep.
So you have the different formats that comedy shows up in. So it's not about just stand-up. It's always going to be about the commonality in all forms of comedy, the way you see it, is storytelling. So you really have to show a person how to structure a story. What makes a story a good story? Relatable subjects.
Embellishment.
Relatable subjects. Inciting incidents and things of that nature.
Yeah.
Those make a good story. Now, since you got a good story, which is, it has to be a good, to have good comedy, you have to have a good story first.
Right.
So this hand, we're going to tackle how to make a good story. The things that's in a good story, how to identify, when you look at a movie, when you look at Castaway, the movie Castaway, what was the inciting incident in Castaway? The inciting incident that really laid out the rest of the plane crash, exactly. Some people would say different things.
Mm-hmm.
But the plane crash was that inciting incident that led the story to become what it was. So identify what are these different things. What's a relatable subject? In Castaway, a relatable subject was we all need friends.
Yeah.
That ball was his friend.
Yep.
We all need companionship. So when you have things that's relatable, it's the same way when you have jokes and you're saying funny stories and things of that nature, it becomes funny because people can identify and relate to what you're saying. And so those are the things that we are tackling in the comedy writing workshop. And then at the end of it, I put together, depending on how many people show up, I separate them in groups and we have writing assignments.
Mm-hmm.
And then read throughs on stage.
Yeah.
You know, and not critiquing, but kind of what could have been better, what was really good, what was the inciting incident, what made this funny, the delivery,
right,
and things of that nature.
Right.
So are we talking sketch comedy that you guys are working on? Are we talking stand-up comedy? Or are
whatever.
We talking improv?
All right. Yeah, whatever the group. Depending on how the group, I'll separate them into groups. And then I let them know, okay, this need to be a 3-minute piece that you're gonna write with this many this scenario, mm-hmm, and this many actors in it, and then you're gonna write this, and then you're gonna do a stand up, and then you're gonna do a sketch piece or improv or whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. It depends on how the flow of how many people we have in the room, how many people come up and participate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And this is just a 1-day class.
Yeah, this is just 3 hours. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Unless PBC want to pay me more, then that's great. Yeah.
So what would be the vehicle in which the outcome would be produced? Like, do you plan on putting like a showcase on for these individuals that work on this stuff? Because like, how are they going to know if it's actually funny unless they get up and do it in front of an audience?
No, that's why I said they're going to do it in front of that audience. Like, they're going to be the audience.
Okay.
Because remember, it's broken down to different groups. So let's say we had 20 people.
Okay.
Then I may break it down to 5 groups of 4.
Mm-hmm.
And then each one of them, each group performed their piece on stage.
Very cool. Have you ever thought about making like an actual comedy show out of the people who come to your class?
No.
Wow.
Have you thought about actually making a documentary on how comedy is created? Because I know that's also your wheelhouse as well.
No, Wednesday I shot, I resumed shooting for America's Darkest Future.
Okay.
So I'm back in that.
Okay.
So yeah, so I just shot Ready Kids. I'm Jackie Bryant from Ready Kids.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Yeah, so executive director. So we just filmed her for the documentary. So I'm not thinking about any other documentaries.
Right.
I'm trying to finish this one. I got a video series that I'm doing on cancer, but that starts January. But as far as documentary,
right?
That's even the video series is a little bit different than a documentary.
And also, I just wanted to switch gears for a minute.
Sure.
I know that you're actually doing a little bit of press and advertisement for the Virginia Film Festival, which is coming up in November.
Yeah.
You are the local black spokesperson.
Film festival,
if you will. Black folks, please come to the film festival because they need some help.
No.
Spike is going to be in the house. Y'all need to.
Well, I would say this. Let me say this about that. I am the promotions and outreach consultant for the film festival this year. And it's an honor, actually. 30 years. When you have any type of program that's been around for 30 years consistently and have morphed into what it is now.
Yeah.
The way it is now, with Spike Lee,
Ezra Edelman.
Bill Macy's coming out. Sasha Jenkins, he's the one that did Word is Bond, the hip-hop documentary that's playing. He's going to be there as well. 30 years ago, there was no Spike Lee there.
No
Edelman there.
Right.
No Sasha Jenkins there.
No.
So when you got to respect that kind of thing. I've been in business for going on 25 years this January, so I had to respect an organization that's been around for 30 years, but then also have looked at the times and adapted.
And moved, and grown with it.
Yeah.
They have. They've done a really good job of doing that.
For real. So it's like an honor for me to be part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so my goal as an outreach consultant is to give them the advice on how to bring people together, not just black people and white people. The Latino community, we reached out, so I plugged in with them. The LGBT community, they have a series of films that's connected to that, to those brothers and sisters. So we have them involved now.
Mm-hmm.
They sponsoring the screening.
Mm-hmm.
So I moved all these pieces around, not just the black pieces.
Right on.
You know.
So what do you think has that you've succeeded in your outreach that they have been unable to do in the past, or do you think that they've had a difficulty in doing that?
I think that they have had difficulty in doing it because it's not something that was on the forefront in the beginning. I think that people who support the festival have requested it, and
they've I think the Charlottesville's requested it.
And they've opened their eyes to say, you know what, we need more inclusivity.
Mm-hmm.
Who can do that? Who's best at doing that? And then they call me. And I think I am the best at doing that. I think there's something I have passion about. I think that, inclusivity is in every thread, every piece of fabric within my, you know, my fabric of life, and my business here, particularly in Charlottesville. I wasn't always like that. You know, Charlottesville had turned me into that way. When I, before I came to Charlottesville, I was promoting at different colleges and black colleges and so forth. I didn't need no white money. Like, you know, the black money did me very well. You know, from concerts to Freaknik in Atlanta, Black College Reunion Daytona Beach, Black College Weekend at Kings Dominion, the Black Ski Fest, all those things I put
There's a Black Ski Fest?
Yeah, I created that.
How about that?
Well, I created that in 1994.
Okay.
So, it was a college ski fest, a black college ski fest.
Okay.
So, so I didn't need the inclusivity. I'm good. Like, like, you know, what I need. You know, BET knocking on my door. I wasn't knocking on BET's door. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, so fast forward, I come to Charlottesville, and I see the lack of diversity in the programming and stuff that's like appears on our stages, right? and I decided to do something about it. So then at that point, my whole entire being as far as my business, I just changed it to more of social entrepreneurship instead of just what I was doing before. And it took a hit financially, not the same. I don't make the same exact money as I used to make.
Gotta spend money to make money, brother.
But but what it is just about, you know, figuring out what's really most important in life. And so most important in life to me is, I think that our legacy is established by what we you know, do while we're here instead of talking about it. So, you know, my favorite quote is by Andrew Carnegie. You know, he said, as I get older, I no longer listen to what men say. I watch what they do.
Right.
So that's, I live by that. And so I think that, you know, instead of talking about doing this and doing that, you know, we just do it. So that's how the United Nations of Comedy Tour, you know, which is November 4th at the Paramount Theater, that came about. The Black College, I mean, the Best of Both World Dance and Step Competition, which is also November 4th at the Paramount in the daytime. That's how all this came about.
And may I also quote the great poet Big Sean, last night took an L, but tonight I bounce back.
That's right.
But tonight I bounce back.
And y'all did great in Jitney, man.
Thank you.
I need to tell y'all that.
Thank you.
When I came to the show, Leslie was in, I don't know where the heck, but she was in France somewhere, Paris or whatever, doing her thing. But y'all did amazing job to you guys.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, just keep it alive.
I'm so proud of them.
Keep it alive. Yeah, they did good.
I'm so proud.
Outside of your presence. But I hope y'all guys can make it. It's free. It's at 12. It's this Friday, October 20th. The Writing with Humor Comedy Writing Workshop is at PVCC, 12 o'clock to 3. And we're going to have fun, you know. We need that right now.
Yeah.
You know?
I just did a comedy show in Stanton last night, and judging from the audience's reaction, maybe I need to take a comedy writing class. No, it's all right. You know, I took an L, but I bounced back.
I'm sorry.
D.C. got killed, though. D.C. and Philly, I rocked that joint. Stanton was like, well, when you begin your set on the bashing the Civil War, especially in a table full of old white people, doesn't tend to go so well after that. Ooh.
But see, you know what? But you know what would have made it funny?
What's that?
For them, not to me, but for them. But even if I was there, I would have laughed because I would have saw your strategy. You should have started tap dancing. They would have loved it. Black man tap dancing, talking about the war. They would have loved it.
Oh, hell to them.
and that's the thing about comedy and storytelling. You have to know your audience. So if you know your audience, that's the first step. That's one of the first steps of delivering humor.
Yeah.
You have to know your audience. You have to. That, it has to be relatable.
I mean, I could have, but I was all out of charcoal and I forgot my gloves at home. So
I love it. I love it.
I mean, maybe next time.
See?
Maybe next time I come to Stanton,
I'll do another show.
Right,
Ty Cooper.
Yeah, you've been chucking and diving.
He's that dude. Oh, America's Darkest Future, Comedy Writing Workshop, Virginia Film Festival. He is all over the place.
Let me send him to the to the website.
Yep.
So if you want more information, go to United Nations, with the S, United Nations of Comedy.com. United Nations of Comedy.com. And the information is up there on events.
United Nations of Comedy.com.
That's right.
Ty Cooper running Seville with an iron black fist
black
in
fist.
The air.
Put the black fist up.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right. That's how we do.
Up. Yep.
And on that show of African American Solidarity, what's going on?
Oh my God.
No knees need be taken.
Currently running now through October 21st, the Black Monologues, a theater production that explores the struggle, joys, and complexities of blackness at UVA and beyond. It is amazing. I saw it on Friday. Yeah. Go. Please go. It's off the chain. It's really, Clinton, it's really good. You should go. Currently running now through October 22nd, Will and Wit, the musical by DMR Adventures at the Belmont Arts Collective. We had him in last week. The book is amazing. The show is going to be amazing. The girl that sang it was amazing. It's going to be lit. Oh, now through October 28th, the complete works of Shakespeare abridged at Guerrilla Theater Projects. Now through October 29th, Arthur Miller's The Crucible at Four County Players, The Cellar. I think I've heard of that play before. How was it?
It's very good.
It was very good. You know, a little wordy, because it's Arthur Miller, but, you know, what can you do? Also wordy, now through November 11th, Edward Albee's A Delicate Balance at Live Arts Theater, getting great reviews, and I hear it's very good at, well, because you know, Boomy's in it.
Boomy.
And last day, Shenandoah Valley Arts Center Fall Foliage Art Show in Waynesboro, or Waynesboro, depends on what you do there. No, it's not a shot. There's an actual, like, beer by Basic City, which is based in Waynesboro, called Waynesboro, and I thought that was just the cutest thing in the world. October 18th, Families in Action hosts a family square dance with a live band at the Front Porch Music School. Get your square dance on.
Oh, Lord.
You have to say that way.
When you have to say it that dance. Way.
October 19th, Big Blue Door Improv Night at Seaville Coffee. Skipping a page. Oh, my God. October 19th, Eyes on Art Tour engages people with Alzheimer's disease in meaningful discussions about art at UVA's Fralin Art Museum. Also on October 29th, UVA MFA Reading Series continues this week with Sean Shearer and Katie Price at New Dominion Bookshop. October 20th, Improv Workshop at Piedmont Virginia Community College's The Earl Dickinson Building. Heard of that.
Have you heard of that?
I think so.
You've been there before?
Yeah, I've been there multiple times.
I think there's a comedy writing workshop going on
the
20th.
Improv
there.
Is non-written comedy, so I've been told. Such a butthole. October 21st, Charlottesville Writer House instructor Shayla Sabri gives you the final installment of Art of Recklessness. This one, revision, in the final installment of this lunchtime seminar series that uses Dean Young's The Arts of Recklessness, poetry as assertive force and contradiction as a guiding principle. You will look at two versions of the same poem as a way of discussing how to revise life into a well-crafted but otherwise flat poem.
Wow.
Interesting. Speaking of beer, October 21st, ballet and beer, an informal way to enjoy and donate to the Charlottesville Ballet. That sounds like an interesting combination.
Beer and ballet.
I'm so graceful. I'm beautiful.
Why can't
I'm a swan.
Put the shoe on.
Me.
Put the shoe. The point shoe.
I can't get the knot tied.
Oh my God.
Enjoy food, beer, and ballet performance. Oh, so they're not drinking beer while they perform ballet.
They're not.
Oh, see, that would have been amazing.
I was excited about that.
See, now I don't want to see it anymore. Enjoy food, beer, and ballet performances at Champion Brewery. Champion Brewery, best hot dog in Charlottesville. And now for your music options this week.
Oh, my goodness. Today, the Central Virginia Blues Society Electric Jam at the Batesville Market. Get your Cajun two-step and waltzes with brunch from Bayou Faux Pas Fellini's. Central Virginia Blues Society Electric Jam at Batesville Market at 1 p.m. Coda Curl at Blue Mountain Brewery at 2:30. Small Town Rodeo at Albemarle Ciderworks at 2:30. Michael Clem. Hey, Michael, what's up, baby?
Hey, Michael.
Michael Clem and Thomas Gunn at Glasshouse Winery. ATM unit featuring Jonah Kane West at Rapture tomorrow. October 17th, Bob Huntington and then Travis Elliott at Fellini's. Jenna Matthews, Sam Uris, Aaron Lunsford, Dogwood Tales, and more in a benefit for the Tuckwin Garcia family affected in Puerto Rico at the Ante Room. That's awesome.
That's awesome.
That is really awesome.
That is awesome.
You know what? A lot,
yeah.
The Ante Room is, that is a happening place, man. I love what they do. Like, it's not just dance parties and, you know, drink till you puke. Like, they do awesome stuff.
But you can do both. You can do both. I mean,
October 18th, that's how I Goodlow at Dirty Nelly's. October 19th, Benny Diamond Tavern on the James. Skip Haga at Dirty Nelly's. Last Man Standing Hip Hop Showcase at the Ante Room. Michael Ellswick Gathering. And then Nick and Steve Pollock at Fellini's. October 20th, Freight Paid gives you classic rock, jazz, blues, and originals at Proenata Farm Brewery. And, okay, anyway. Scuffle Town at Glasshouse Winery. Lockjaw at Dirty Nelly's. Your local go-go source 100 proof band at the Ante Room on October 20th. And October 20th, also the Rugged Arts Hip Hop Showcase at the Twisted Branch Tea Bazaar. Shout out to Fellow Man. What's up,
Fellow Man?
The 21st, the Randy Johnston 3 featuring Jonah Kane West at the Batesville Market, giving you a combination of funky soul and southern rock. All right. Ragged Mountain String Band at Adventure Farm and Vineyard. Irish Music Band Anlar at Ducard Vineyards, the 21st. Also on the 21st, catch Anne O'Brien and her duo, Her Checkered Past, harmonizing on popular tunes from Lucinda Williams to Bowie to Joni Mitchell to Elvis Costello, all at Albemarle Ciderworks. That's an arc right there. Local voice teacher Heather Hightower, oh, I think we just met her, is offering a singing class at Emancipation Park on the 21st. The 21st, Michael Clem Trio plays the fall party fundraiser for Frenchport Roots Music School. The Randy Johnston Trio and Jonah Kane West at Batesville Market also on the 21st. I know, he's all over the place. What the hell? He's like me. He never sleeps. Rattlebag at Wolf Wapa Brewery. Every Friday morning, the West African Drum Circle at the Front Porch Roots Music School. Every Monday, Bluegrass Jam at the Front Porch Roots Music School. Every Monday, Charlottesville Friends of Old Time Music, the weekly open jam at Thomas Jefferson Memorial Unitarian Church. Every Tuesday, traditional session at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. Latin Guitar Night with Miles Pierce and Humberto Sales at the Bebedero. And here comes the list for Wednesday.
Jam-packed Wednesday.
Open mic night at Pro Ray Not a Farm Brewery. Open mic night at Holly's Deli and Pub, hosted by Josh Mayo.
Bam!
Jazz Collective Number 9 at Fellini's Number
9. Bam!
Bachata Fusion at the Ante Room, presented by the Charlottesville Salsa Club.
Bam!
DJ and Friends at the Bebedero.
Bam!
And the Mike Brzezinski and Jeff Decker Quartet at Miller's.
Bam!
Every Thursday, Lua at the Bebedero. And every Thursday,
John Durth!
Woo! At Miller's. Oh my God, can we please pay a bill? Time!
Hi, this is Miriam Gordon-Stewart from Victory Hall Opera. You're listening to Homegrown, a show about local art on 94.7 WPVC.
43 minutes past the hour, if you're just tuning in, something is definitely wrong with you.
Set an alarm, people.
Set an alarm. What? 10 o'clock, Sunday.
We have to say this every week.
Homegrown.
Set a freaking alarm.
94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. Stay tuned after the show for the Sunday morning wake-up call, if you ain't already woken up, with your host, Rick Moore. His guest is Jeff Leonard. He's
Jeff.
A guy. He kind
really?
Of like runs the entire station here.
Jeffrey?
Talking about WPVC's first 2 years.
Awesome.
And not the last.
That's
and
awesome.
Yeah, this is Homegrown. I already said that. 94.7 WPVC.
Yeah.
The Progressive Voice of Charlottesville. Lisa Bean is in the house.
I'm so excited.
She is not a painter. She is not a sculptor. She is a visual artist with her collection series called Karma at the Jefferson School African American Heritage Center. She just opened up yesterday.
Yes!
And this joint is running now through January 13th, so you have no excuses. You have all the rest of this year to see this amazing, amazing collection of works. Lisa, thank you so much for coming in and being a part of the show.
Thank you for having me.
Of
you guys
course.
Are crazy. I love it.
Yeah. That's how we do.
I had to go get a red eye.
Yeah.
I woke up and I walked in here.
We're the anti-NPR.
And
that's
then she
like
heard it all.
Mm-hmm. Bam.
So let's talk about Karma, because there's a lot of interesting pieces in here.
Ooh.
Very much based on the recent
outcomes of not only August the 12th, but it looks like everything before that, just basically the downfall of American society, if you will, in the era of
currently
Trump.
Happening right now.
Yeah, so
a town
so
near you,
the yeah. whitewashing of the
if it wasn't whitewashed enough.
Yeah,
so
right.
Talk about that, and talk about where your head was at during all of these pieces being created.
Well, the thing is, I've been working on these pieces since 2015.
Okay.
So the first group was a series of stamps.
Mm-hmm.
And that was before Trump. I did it based on seeing how this country has not changed despite that we had Obama. And the things, it just seemed that racism was coming out. And therefore, I decided, okay, I'm going to do these stamps. And the stamps show mm-hmm. lynchings and mm-hmm. People being happy. And then you'll see, when you see those pieces, it just explains sort of the chaos.
Mm-hmm.
And within that chaos, you also see the solution is you have to face the truth. Once you face the truth, mm-hmm. then you have to come to terms with accepting the truth.
Yeah.
And then the forgiveness comes in. But until you face the truth, the lies just keep going, mm-hmm. and then the lie just becomes bigger and bigger.
And that's chaos is a great word, because that's actually what I thought about when I viewed a lot of these pieces. A lot of chaos, a lot of anger, a lot of despondency. There's a lot of childlike imagery, mm-hmm. a lot of like Disney musical imagery, mm-hmm. mixed with that of reds and blacks and ropes mm-hmm. and wood. And I just want to say the word scratching and clawing for a sort of understanding and, you know, a sort of frustration that is built inside of you, like a mm-hmm. fire, if you will.
Well, and there's so much going on in these pieces. And so it's, when you look at them, they're... Your eye is drawn to the bright color mm-hmm. and the starkness of it, but I love how you've incorporated text into mm-hmm. almost everything. So it's like, okay, I'm seeing that. Whoa, wait a minute, I just read that. Like there's so many levels yeah. and when you're tackling something that is so dark,
mm-hmm.
something that is so negative, but you frame it with these really bright primary colors, the contrast is amazingly.
And I just want to say one more thing before you comment that, you know, I think that the age of Obama actually started, that you're right, that it started this kind of like incendiary fire between.
It woke
like,
it up.
Well,
it woke,
you know,
it up.
Because a lot of, you know, these, you know, license plates and bumper stickers like "Don't renege on Obama,"
right.
"Hang in there, Obama." A lot of racist anger was, you know, thrown it at the way of our president at that time. So it wasn't. So I want to reiterate, it wasn't like the era of Trump began on January 20th. I think it also began with birtherism,
yeah.
with the rise of the Tea Party, with just like this unapologetic mask off racism that we mm-hmm. started to see
yeah.
in even mainstream media now. So talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's so strange to talk about it, because I'm... The way I can express is really only through the paintings, because when I start talking about it, I get like, ah,
you know, right?
It's so old, you know? And,
yeah.
and it's like, wow, are we really doing this again?
Yeah, we're yeah. doing it again.
And
yeah.
we're doing it again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's not that we're doing it any less. We're really doing it again. We're starting from another higher level.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This is not just ignorance anymore. This is stubbornness.
Mm-hmm.
This is like, I don't want to let go of my whiteness. And it's like, well, you know, it's like last night when I was speaking, I was explaining, which is part of the one sheet cake, we're yeah. all connected.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can say and do whatever you want, but we're all connected. And to think that you are so white, what is white?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what does white really mean?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure all of us have relatives that could pass for white.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And this was, I did an interview on YouTube the other day, and that's one of the things I said. I said, what is white? you know, you can look at half these people here in Charlottesville that are white,
mm-hmm.
and if you check their blood,
yeah,
guess
hello,
what?
Yeah,
guess
how,
what?
How did you get to this? How did I
right,
get
right,
to
right.
this? You know, it's like,
right.
yeah.
you know, no, we get that little whiteness in there, and we have relatives that had, they didn't, they mm-hmm. just passed for white and just blended in with
yeah.
white society.
And it's,
yeah.
and I don't think it's only, I don't want to give up my whiteness. It's also the fact of people
privilege.
Not wanting to, yeah, and people not wanting to give up their rights to not care about blackness
yes.
and not face blackness
yes.
and not just to tolerate it but accept it
mm-hmm.
and I think with you know the rise of identity politics and the more inclusivity that we saw coming into the White House and society in general, I think that it caused a straight up fear in America for whiteness not being centered
mm-hmm.
and for whiteness actually starting to become you know, a minority, which in truth, whiteness is. Because,
mm-hmm.
I mean, if you go across the world, you know, whiteness is a minority.
Well, and I mean, even if you look genetically, it's a recessive gene.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, come on, let's just be real.
Sorry.
Like, it's fact. It's science. I don't, you know.
But it's also giving up, again, privilege.
Yes.
And when you lose privilege, it's like losing money. When you
yeah.
lose money, it's like, oh my God, mm-hmm. I'm losing my money.
What am I going to
mm-hmm.
do?
What am I going to do now? And
mm-hmm.
so now you're giving up, you're losing that privilege because that was an illusion in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you worked it to keep it, but now, you know, they're just, this country is growing too fast with
mm-hmm.
so many people, and I love that we're mixing.
Mm-hmm.
I have no problem with us mixing because we're all mixed.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Every single one of us in this
yep.
room.
Yep.
So it's like, okay, well, I'm not going to be ashamed of what I am. You know, I'm going to be proud of what I am. But at the same time, we all need to understand that we can't go around hating each other because we're different. And if you can't understand it, then I'm sorry, because all the knowledge is there in books.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And if you just look up at the sky, hello, when you can explain to me how those stars that we see right now,
mm-hmm.
those stars already happened.
Right.
If
mm-hmm.
you can't comprehend that, we shouldn't even be having a conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so they want to get to this. So,
what was your major, your impetus to take all of those feelings and create art with it? Because, you know, we're all artists in this room,
mm-hmm.
and we, all of us, I think, have been struggling with how we use our art to tell that story,
mm-hmm.
to reach people that maybe
how we speak and how we phrase our opinions
yeah.
in a place that is actually constructive.
Yeah.
Well,
and we're not just like screaming into the ether, you know?
Well, so. That's what a lot of this work, especially, and I did all of this in Germany. And interesting, Germans love my work, and they love the honesty in it.
Yeah,
they're
because they've dealt with their history.
So confused how we love
right?
these statues,
right?
And how we want to fight for
there
these statues.
No,
you got rid of our statues a long time ago.
Okay. Well, that's why I had that painting. There are no statues of Hitler
right.
in
yeah.
Germany.
It is illegal to walk around with a Nazi symbol,
mm-hmm.
either on your clothing or on a flag or whatever, in Germany.
They
cannot
don't tolerate
do it. Illegal.
They don't tolerate it, and that's why they're confused with us.
Yeah.
With these paintings, though, when I did them there, they did appreciate the stamps. They appreciate the wood. And,
yeah.
you know, I gave them the history. They appreciate the cotton. They, you know, they
yeah.
here when you have, and again, this is, I use a lot of these images of like Dick and Jane because, you
yes.
know, those Dick and Jane books taught us that we want to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're
yes.
going to be perfect, you're going to be white.
Yeah. You're going to be white.
You got to do it the white way.
Yep.
And
yep.
here, they're looking up that rabbit hole, and there's the rabbit knowing I'm not going out there, and they don't want to go out there because they see that the guy's still hanging in the tree.
Right.
Yeah, and there was an interesting piece where you did with Winnie the Pooh and the boy that, you know, was on a hanging tree, and you use a lot of childlike imagery from children's books, from children's musicals.
Mm-hmm.
Quite honestly, the movies that we were raised on
mm-hmm.
as black children and didn't realize the whitewashing that we were, you know, and the brainwashing that was going on, like, in our minds. It's like,
yeah.
well, you know, to do it this way, you have to do it in
I love
a
the Alice in Wonderland.
The Alice in Wonderland stuff.
Oh, my
so,
God.
So, like, talk about that and the little white boy.
The bottom line is, well, first, when you look at all of these, I started each painting with lines, so it looked like ledger lines,
yeah.
sort of postcards.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then I painted on top I use the children from the stories because we learn when we're children.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to go back to the point that I'm always going to make. We are taught this.
Yes.
In this piece, you have these two boys. They're their family, these men are watching a lynching. They are confused. This one is like, mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm in it. Yeah.
And this is a real postcard that was written to a guy's father, and he's saying how they had a barbecue. That's real.
Yeah.
And I copied his handwriting.
Oh,
so,
wow.
So all of these things, when you see them with children and the writings, it's we teach this.
It's not nature. It's nurture.
It's seriously. Yeah. I walked through this exhibit yesterday, and I was just like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yes. The whole time.
So the hanging man, the lynched man, is a figure that echoes throughout these pieces,
mm-hmm.
And we've talked about especially David has talked about all of this, the imagery that you take from childhood, and it's interesting to look at those hanging men, those hanged men,
mm-hmm.
Because I look at them and I'm reminded of illuminated Bibles.
Mm-hmm.
Am I on the right track?
Yes,
at all?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So all the stamps, I made them on brown paper bags.
Ooh.
And then because the paper comes from the tree.
Right.
And
right.
They are looked at with less value than that tree.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So each one is manipulated, and I make them into, I think in this one you can see it, but I make them into these sort of holy God images. And this one, when you see it up close in person, you'll see the little dots. That's the soul.
Yeah, I remember
that.
So
you can kill me, but you kill my body, but my soul is going. And at mm-hmm. the end of the day, the karma is what you do when you're on this planet. You have to address it when you get over there.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So there's no forgiveness. I'm going to go to church and ask God to forgive me.
Right.
So did the stamp? So did the stamps come first, and then
yes.
you built pieces around the stamps?
The stamps, well, the canvases came first, and the stamps came. I had to go back to Germany first. I started the canvases, so they were blank,
mm-hmm.
and then I went home, did the stamps, came back, and then I was able to build around that. This one sold also in Germany, and they totally get it.
I love it.
Thanks. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, what? This one is my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
The sheet cake one is my absolute favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you think about what has been occurring since January in this country, and I love the use of the three monkeys.
Well, that's because when he says, "As a privileged ape," I had no idea,
right?
Because we all are from the ape family,
yeah.
And he had no idea because he didn't want to face the truth that these people that you are destroying,
mm-hmm.
they're all part of the ape family. So we are all part of each other, although they like to say that we were subhuman,
right? Yeah. Right. There's just, please, 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 people go see this exhibit. There's so much power and so much passion in it. And I was speechless walking through it.
Thank you.
Beautiful, beautiful work.
Is all your work as layered as this, both thematically and also style and also texturally?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, you're going to be back.
Right.
We might just have an entire Lisa Bean show.
That would be really great because there's a lot that people can learn by going and seeing, and you can, the identifying mm-hmm. with what's in all of these. It's
Are you going to Europe or are you going to LA?
Yeah, I go back at the end of the month for a month. I have another show there.
All right.
And
I'll
be back.
Well, we got to catch you back when you come back.
Yes.
I know it's been hell in a handbasket getting you here and back.
Getting on that airplane.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, but you're doing what you love and you're doing what's really important. So.
I appreciate
Lisa
that.
Bean, thank you so much.
This is amazing.
This
you
is amazing.
Guys are crazy.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Awesome. Tell people in Europe about us.
I will.
Because we're trying to be global.
We global. We got a podcast. I'm just saying.
Yep. Just saying.
Yeah.
So we got to wrap things up. It's 10:59 and some change.
10:59?
Stay tuned for the Sunday morning wake-up call.
It went so fast.
With your host, Rick Moore. Jeff Leonard's going to be in the house. He's the HDIC up in here at at WPVC, talking about the first 2 years. Are we going to keep it going two more after that? And after that?
I said HDSE. I know. I know. That, I was laughing after about that, that.
And after that.
Oh, okay.
Because Homegrown's going to be the flagship for this mofo. We're going to carry it
you
to
know
them.
What?
Actually, we can't be close.
We have been, we were the first show to go live, and we are still the only show that has done the most live shows.
That's right, baby. We love you so much. This is Homegrown. We'll be here next week. Peace.
Bye.
You've been listening to Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. You can contact the show on Facebook by searching Homegrown Charlottesville. Be sure to tune in again next Sunday at 10 for Homegrown, only on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.